Hello everyone, I'm Coach Gordon, and this is my podcast on health and fitness. Come and join me and live your best life. I wanted to talk to you about what fitness actually is today. I think we all get confused on fitness being about going to the gym, about running, about physically exerting ourselves. And that makes sense, because when we look at the definition of fitness, it's actually incredibly confusing. So when I look it up, it says fitness, the condition of being physically fit. So we are using the word fitness in the definition, fit in the definition of fitness to describe it. That's not great. So the condition of being physically fit and healthy. It says disease, lack of fitness, are closely related. Okay, so that's like in terms of your health. But the bigger, cooler definition of fitness is what I think is the quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role or task. And I think that's where the important definition of fitness is, because it's a broader umbrella, I guess, over top of the first definition. Having the ability to do stuff and to be suitable to do stuff is really the only thing that matters to us, I think. Nobody really cares how fast you can run something unless you're an Olympic athlete or competing in a sport, which most of us aren't. Most of us are just wanting to move our bodies, be really good parents, be good role models for the people around us, to be able to get to work on time, to do our thing, to enjoy, to be a good friend, to be a good brother, sister, mother, daughter, whatever it is that you are. So the quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role or task. Let that sit in. I think it's cool. I think that's what fitness needs to be more about, is your ability to fulfill the role or task. And I think the roles and tasks that we are looking to excel at, or even just be adequate at, are the things that make our lives good, that make us happy. You know, we want to be able to take care of our kids well. And so the fitness, the quality of being suitable to fulfill that particular role, is a journey, a lifelong journey, and there's many aspects to it, including being physically fit and mentally fit and mentally ready and capable. And we may never be truly realistically ready to do something like be a parent, but I think if we can work our asses off to do the development that it takes to actually know ourselves and prepare ourselves the best possible way that we can and we know how, and look for help from people around us and from our parents and from our community, and discover and learn and have an open mind about some new concepts that you don't know about yet. I think that's what's going to allow us to be suitable to fulfill that role. Right. When I talk about myself for fitness, I want to be suitable to fulfill a role of leadership in the actions that I take, and leadership in owning the mistakes that I make. Also, leadership in being vulnerable and being prepared to be wrong, but doing my best not to at the same time. And I think those things are really important for my role as a fitness expert. I take on the science of a particular outcome that people are looking for. And I'm going to talk about nutrition in a moment on that note. And I also take on the psychology of that same subject. So the science and the psychology, because the science says one particular thing. Usually the science is, it's telling us if you do A, B will be the result. And if you do C, D will be the result. And too often we're dismissing this because we're confusing causation and correlation, right? So a deficit of calories will allow us to lose weight. There's no way around that. That is the way that it works. That's science. That is, you know, 100 minus 1 equals 99. You can't mess with this. You know, there are things that will hold you back from losing body fat and hormone imbalances that will keep you back from losing body fat. But if you are creating a calorie deficit in what you do every day and the amount of food that you eat, you will lose weight. And that could be from anywhere. You know, you don't really get to control that. What you can control, though, is you can control the environment to create what you want. And for that, you need to understand both science and psychology and understand that it's a bit of a journey. It's not black and white. A lot of people ask me, what do I think of the ketosis diet? And the first thing I say is, I don't know how that relates to you. I want to know more about you and how I can, and what you mean by that, so that I can understand how to begin to help you and what you want. So the information on the ketosis diet is online. Go look it up. It's very simple. We don't need me to explain it to you. It's do this and don't do that. And it sets some restrictions on what we're doing. And what the ketosis diet is actually doing is it's helping you reset your hormones back to a regular state. It's helping you get back towards a homeostasis and hopefully making you feel good, hopefully making you feel better than you usually do, allowing you and giving you the energy to do more stuff. And by doing more stuff, you create a calorie deficit. And hopefully what happens is that you begin to lose fat. Now, if you don't begin to lose fat from doing that, that's okay. That doesn't mean the ketosis diet doesn't work. It means it doesn't work for you. And that's really important. So when I talk to people about diet, you need to know the outcome. What are they looking for? Do they want to look better? Because looking better could be less fat, more muscle. Looking better could be smaller waist. Looking better could be putting makeup on your face and feeling good and feeling confident, or wearing clothes that make you look and feel really great. Those are all things that make you look great and make you feel great, right? So we have to be specific about the goals, because we're mixing psychology and science, and we need to break it down into smaller, more exact pieces so we can have a direction on what to do, and so that we can have a good conversation about what's next, about what the appropriate steps are, about do we need more sleep? Do we need more micronutrients in your diet? Do we need more water? Do we need less water? Do we need less of something in your diet, or less of something in your life? Also including stress, right? So we need to look at these things and understand that a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is correlation and not causation. Another good example is on the Wim Hof method. It's really popular. It's a couple different breathing exercises, training you to utilize your lungs and utilize oxygen better. And it's a really cool way of doing it. It just is also extreme and not necessarily for beginners, especially people who don't have the cardiorespiratory fitness that they probably should have as a prerequisite to beginning this sort of thing. And that's important to know too. There are steps along the way that maybe you're missing. Maybe you've tried to jump to step 5, but you don't have step 1 taken care of. And that's also going to be a major hurdle for you to try and get over later when you don't have the foundation built to get the results that you want. So sometimes we need to go back and look at those things. And working with a coach or for physical fitness, or working with a therapist for your mental fitness, or doing some sort of journaling or having a plan is extremely important. Otherwise, you get sent down a rabbit hole of stuff that may not lead you anywhere. It may just make things worse. And so talking to people about this is really important. So whether you do the Atkins diet or your the vegan diet or the vegetarian diet or the ketosis diet, all of these things have basically psychological things, psychological factors that help create a trend that can work for a large group of people. And when I say a large group of people, like usually 25 to 35% of people will see some sort of positive benefits, at least over the short term. And when I say short term, I'm talking about 1 to 2 years. Even something like a vegan diet may not be appropriate for everybody. I highly, highly suggest that when you start a new diet, make sure that you get blood work done before you start to change everything, and that you get regular blood work done so that you can compare and make sure that you're doing the right things, because these are the markers that will tell you. We don't have to guess. You know, we don't have to guess if you're healthy. We don't have to guess if these things are working for you or not. We can tell. We have like 100% way of telling if this is helping you or not. And some of it is like your fit, your actual like performance markers. Are you getting stronger? Are you getting heavier? Are you getting, right, in terms of muscle mass and bone density? Those things are really important for protecting your body and becoming a more healthy individual. Putting on 5 to 10 pounds of bone density and muscle is probably one of the most amazing things that you can do for your body in terms of the way you feel and your posture and the amount of energy that you're going to have over the next and until it goes away, until you stop using your body in that same way. So think about that. Think about causation versus correlation and science versus psychology. People have arguments all the time on, they go, oh, I don't eat bread, so that must be healthy. And that is not science. That's not necessarily the truth. Eating bread may help you to reduce the calories that you're eating, but you may need those calories for performance and recovery. When we're talking about carbohydrates, we need those things to fuel our body efficiently. Like in high intensity exercise, it's very important to have some sort of carbohydrate in your system so that your body has an easy time accessing the energy that it needs. If it doesn't, it's like trying to, it's like trying to force something down up a straw that doesn't fit, and you can't gain access to that energy. So that's creating stress on the system instead of creating an efficient system for you to be able to perform. And that's really important. So again, when we're talking about fitness, we want to know what you're trying to achieve so that we can begin to determine how to start doing that scientifically. Once we understand that, we can start doing some experiments. Right, we can say, hey, let's do a ketosis diet, because there's evidence that your hormones aren't balanced properly, and since there is evidence that your levels of testosterone or estrogen or progesterone are off, why don't we go get that tested, so that we know definitely the work that we're doing is making a difference and that it's getting you towards the goals that you want. Anything else is, it's not a waste of time, but again, it's not efficient and it's not effective. And this is where people get frustrated with the fitness industry, is they guess and they force their trainers and coaches to guess. And they don't have a good way of talking about this because they're afraid of offending each other's points of view. And when we talk about science, that's kind of like our absolute. That's where we start from. And then we have to sometimes break down the psychological aspects of what somebody's talking about back to scientific ones so that we can implement the right psychological things, right? You'll hear people talking about the first thing that you do when you get out of bed is make your bed because you'll have achieved something that day, right? That's a psychological effect to give you power in the morning, to make you feel great, so that no matter what happens during the day, when you do come back home, you know that you've accomplished something. And it's nice to come back into a made bed. Is that science? Is somebody who makes their bed going to get things done more than the person who doesn't make their bed? No, that's not necessarily true. That's not a scientific fact. But I bet you it has a trend. I bet you it has a correlation in how much people can get done in a day. And I bet you that those people tend to see sort of the same things, an improved amount of work done or an improved amount of efficiency throughout a day. And that's important to note, because that is the whole battle of this, is how can I reach, as a professional, the people who have their minds closed off to, I'm a vegan and it's healthy, or I do ketosis and it's healthy, or I'm only a runner and it's healthy. You know, what are you trying to be healthy for? What are you trying to be good at? What are you trying to be fit for? If your goal is to be the best runner, yes, you're probably going to need to do a lot of running and be fit and prepared for running. But there's other things that we can be doing too. And some of that is just paying attention to things outside of that dominating force, that running force, you know, that thing that you love to do. And same with fat loss. Like the point of fat loss, you know, it's not unhealthy to be fat. It doesn't make you sick or diseased. Not to be fat, but to have fat on your body. I don't believe anybody is fat, but if you have fat on your body, yes, if you have excess adipose tissues, then it can be creating significant weight and significant load on your joints. And that's taken away from your fitness to be a healthy human and to achieve the things that you want to throughout your life. So it may be necessary to lose some of that fat. But nothing's more powerful than adding muscle to your body. Nothing makes you feel better and more capable and more confident than giving yourself some muscle and some ability to move heavy things around and to be able to move yourself around and to be able to propel yourself through space and to be able to dig your neighbor's car out of the snowbank when you get 20 centimeters of snow in Victoria. You know, those things are invaluable, and that's what makes you feel fit. That's what makes you feel like you're contributing to society in a positive way, is when you're fit to do those things that make sense to you. Fit to do your job, fit to be a parent, fit to be a sister, brother, mother, grandmother, teacher, coach, and leader, right? Be fit for those things. If you guys have any questions on your goals or what you want to do and how to become fit for that, right? Also, a big part of this is mentally fit and mentally ready. There's so much talk around anxiety and depression and mental illness right now, and a lot of this is coming down to our ability to be fit and to be ready. And the last episode or segment that I put out touches on that, is you don't know when something crazy is going to happen. You don't know when the fight for your life is going to happen. But if you prepare yourself just a little bit every day, or you do your best every day, then you'll be ready no matter what it is. And I talked about how we are our own worst enemies and how you are your greatest enemy, and your ability to understand that and to explore yourself and to look at your own weaknesses, that's what's going to allow you to be fit and to be ready, to have these tools, and to also have the people in your life who are going to hold you accountable when you're not completely yourself, when you're in a depressed mood, when you're in an anxious mood, or when anxiety or depression takes over and you aren't yourself. You need to have people around you who check in with you, who ask you how your day is, who are part of your community. Maybe you have a group class or a yoga class or a dance class or something that you go to. Maybe it's your Maybe it's your religious gathering, or maybe it's a hike group, but you should be parts of things that people would notice when you're not doing okay or when you're missing. You know, people should wonder about you if you're not present or you're not yourself. And when those people reach out to you and tell you those things, you have to have practiced already listening and understanding and not being defensive. So, and that takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of time to figure out and to be able to just listen, even though you don't necessarily feel good about what they've said, or maybe they you feel like they're totally overreaching. There is something in it, right? There's a lot to learn from that. But continue to explore. Continue to think about what you need to be fit for, right? And it's going to be the things that you care about most in your life. And I'll go back to talking about myself, because that's what I'm doing, is I'm preparing myself to be the best possible coach, the best possible leader. And hopefully I'm more prepared than most people are, because I work on these things every day, and I talk about them, and I podcast about them, and I live what I'm talking about. I have a hike group, and I have a group of people who come to see me for fitness, and I'm working on my relationships with my family and relationships with my friends, and trying to find the ones that are healthy for me and the people who hold me accountable in the right ways, because I want them to help me too, right? I want them to help me be as fit as possible, so that when it comes my time and my turn to help them out, that I'm ready. And that's all I want. I want to be able to be ready for when you need help, ready for when my friends need help, ready for my family and my community needs help. That's fitness.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.